tonight to really what I think is one of my favorite New Testament passages, and that is 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You know this passage. I'm thinking of verse 7 through 10 in particular, where Paul says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for these wonderful words that you've recorded for us through the apostle, a personal testimony of his. Thank you, Lord, that you have something specific for each one of us here. And I pray that the Holy Spirit of God himself, our teacher, would teach us the truth that he has in mind for us tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to have a Bible, open it together, gain understanding, get what you have for our hearts. We praise you and thank you for that, and ask that the end result would be that Jesus would be exalted, and not us, just as Paul says here. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you probably have at least heard, if not, you've been following all of this stuff about the current Twitter information. And if you have, you've heard a lot about censorship. That is, the canceling of certain kinds of talk. Let me say something. If there is anyone that needs to be canceled in the Christian's life, it's the devil. His voice is the loudest, and it is the most insistent voice in the world. I believe that Satan is a master at shooting fiery darts of doubt into our thoughts through worldly thinking. You and I, as believers, need to learn how to not listen to his voice. And I think this passage in 2 Corinthians 12 that I've just quickly read this evening already, it is an example of how Satan got canceled in a believer's life. How God enabled this person to totally turn the tables on the devil. And that's something I want to learn. That's something I want to do. I want to cancel the devil in my life. I want to turn the tables on him. And here's how. Go back to verse 7 with me and look at this verse carefully, please, in your own Bible, because he says there that there was given to me, Paul speaking, a thorn in the flesh. Now, the word thorn actually refers to a wooden stake, a pointed piece of wood that is used to normally drive into the dirt, to drive into something. What Paul is talking about is that there was some type, I think, a bodily ailment that was so painful, it was like a wooden stake that would pierce him, that was driven into his physical body, like he was being impaled on a piece of wood, on a stake. But I want you to note something else about this. He was afflicted. That's the first point. He's afflicted. People have different kinds of affliction. There's different ways that we get afflicted. But he was afflicted. He calls it a thorn. Notice it says in our English version, in the flesh. Actually, I think it perhaps might even be more correct to say a thorn for the flesh than in the flesh. And when you put that together with what else is said in that seventh verse, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given me, lest I should be exalted above measure. He says that two times in that seventh verse. Then the word flesh there does not primarily refer to his body, but rather to his soul. Because it is in the human soul where pride resides, where pride lives, where pride dwells. And so God gave him a thorn for the flesh, that is, for that soul part of him where pride wells up, so that he would be humbled and wouldn't be proud. God allowed him to be afflicted. And would you note also in that seventh verse, the way in which God allowed this believer to be afflicted was through the messenger called the devil, Satan. There was given to me, he says, a thorn, as I said, for the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, to beat me up, if you will. He was afflicted. Well, how did he respond to that affliction? How do you respond when you're afflicted? Well, I think he responded rightly. The first thing he did in verse 8, we read, I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. He pleaded. He was afflicted. He immediately pleaded. He besought the Lord. That is, he called God to his side. That's what the word besought means. To call to one side. He asked, he pled for God to help him, to give him relief, to deliver him. And it says in that eighth verse, he tried three times, he pleaded with God. He was afflicted and he pleaded three times. God answers prayer, but he does so three different ways. We think he only answers prayer one way. No, God answers prayer three ways. He has three answers to prayer. Number one, sometimes when God answers prayer, he says yes. Sometimes when God answers prayer, he says no. And sometimes when we pray, God says wait. So there are three ways that God responds to our prayer. Yes, wait. And no, this time when he pleaded with God, God said no. When God's answer is other than yes, I'm convinced that it's because God knows something we don't know, and God envisions something better for us. In fact, why would God remove, when Paul prayed and asked and pleaded, why would God remove what he purposely gave him? A thorn to keep him humble. You know, the book of Proverbs says that pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And God was really protecting him by humbling him. And so God said no. And instead of him being delivered, God transformed that thorn. And I want to show you how. Because what we have in verses 9 and 10, especially verse 9, is really the secret of spiritual power in our Christian lives. Notice what he says there. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect or complete in weakness. He transformed Paul's form, and he took his weakness, and he made Paul's weakness God's strength. There is, for that to happen, a necessity of a personal, voluntarily accepting of an affliction, because we come to realize that even though Satan is behind it and he's doing it to neutralize us and to destroy us as believers, God has ordered it to keep us humble so that we can be usable. And rather than asking God to remove it, we learn, like Paul, to depend upon God to transform our pain into power. That's what's happening here. My strength is made perfect in weakness. The secret of spiritual power is there. And it's in that word grace. The word grace, really, it is strength. The word grace means strength. The word grace means ability, God's strength. In fact, you know what grace is? It's God's presence. God's presence is the grace, is the strength, is the secret of strength, is the secret of spiritual power in our life. So with physical pain, when we submit to the will of God, when he says, no, I'm not going to deliver that pain from you, we can let God transform that pain into power. But I want you to note something else here, because he goes on in that ninth verse and says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. He says in verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. There is a dual transformation here. It's the secret of spiritual power, but it's also the secret of spiritual pleasure. Paul says, I'm not rejoicing in the abundance of visions and revelations that God gave me. I'm not rejoicing in all the accomplishments that I was able to do by God. But rather, he's rejoicing in his, notice this, weakness. Now, if you look up that word weakness, you'll find that the original word actually literally means without any strength. No strength at all. That's what it means. So he's rejoicing in his strengthlessness, in his total inability. In other words, you know when you're happiest? When you're emptied of yourself. The secret of spiritual pleasure is really your personal emptiness. It's exchanging your total emptiness for Christ's fullness, for Christ's power, for his strength. So there's no question ever who's doing what's being accomplished in and through your life, because you're strengthless. You have no strength at all. You're an empty suit. You have nothing to offer. It's him. He, in verse 10, also talks about reproaches. That's hurts. It could be mental or emotional abuse. And here, if you will exchange your offenses for his forgiveness, for a forgiving spirit from him, you'll have the ability to forgive anyone anything. There is no excuse for unforgiveness. A believer with Christ in them can forgive anyone of anything if they will simply claim that forgiveness, that forgiving spirit that Jesus is and that Jesus has. So there'll be no question where that forgiveness came from. And then, in that 10th verse, he says, I take pleasure, the secret of spiritual pleasure. weakness, reproaches, necessities, he calls it. Necessities, that is, need. Needy, because of circumstances that you are in. And he is basically saying, look, just as you exchange, you're to exchange your strengthlessness for my power, exchange your neediness, your necessity for Christ's sufficiency, so that there'll be no question where the supply came from when you experience it. He also, secret of spiritual pleasure, he takes pleasure, he says, in persecutions. And the word persecution there, or persecutions plural, means to be pursued or to be hunted down in order so that you are hurt. And that's exactly what Satan wants to do. Through persecutions, he wants to neutralize your testimony. He wants to destroy you as a believer. And what we are told to do is make an exchange here. Exchange your fear for God's assurance, for God's assuring promises. Exchange your hate for his love for your enemies. So there'll be no question who's enabling you to move forward in spite of fearful circumstances, and who's enabling you to love regardless of what you face from your persecutors. The secret is spiritual pleasure. He says in that 10th verse that he takes pleasure also in distresses for Christ's sake. Distress. The word there speaks of a narrow space between two walls. A narrow space between two walls. We would call it a tight spot. Or that saying, between a rock and a hard place. A tight spot. And what he is instructing here is that we exchange our stress for his peace and his tranquility. So no one questions where your calmness comes from, that you're experiencing, that you're enjoying, that you're exhibiting. It's God's work. So the weapon that Satan actually planned to use to conquer Paul turned out to be a weapon in which Paul defeated the enemy with. Effectively canceling Satan. That's what happened. All because he made that exchange. God's grace, for whatever my need is, be it strength, whether it be a forgiving spirit, sufficiency in my need, fearlessness and love in persecution, and his peace and tranquility when I'm in a stressful situation, that will cancel the devil. And believers exclusively have access to this because we have the presence of the Lord. And his presence is the secret of spiritual power and spiritual pleasure. I don't know if any of the ladies today have a pearl necklace on or a pearl ring. You know where pearls come from? Real pearls come from, well, normally oysters. They can be formed by any mollusk. And what a pearl actually is the result of, and sometimes they're cultured. It's done deliberately. What a pearl actually is the result of is some foreign substance. Maybe it's just a little grain of sand that gets into the shell of that oyster, let's say. And the oyster then secretes a substance that forms around that grain of sand to keep it from tearing him up. It buffers him. it's that pearl forms around, you might say, a piece of dirt that would injure that mollusk. He secretes this substance, and he takes a piece of dirt, if you think of it this way, that would injure him, that would hurt him, and turns it into something of beauty and value. That's exactly what happens here. That's what I mean by canceling Satan. That's what Paul did in this passage. And that's what he wants us to learn from this passage. That's what he wants to happen in our life. Those irritants that are allowed into our daily life, into our sphere of life and existence, are not meant to merely irritate us, but to be the means whereby we exchange our weakness for his power, where we exchange our inability for his supernatural ability. And that will form the pearl, the beauty, and the value in a believing life. So at the end of the day, or the end of our life, we really have something to show for a life lived for God. So, what are you doing with the irritants in your life? Are you just letting them drive you crazy? Are you just allowing them to make you angry and bitter? Or can you see them as something that God wants to teach you to exchange your neediness, your hurt, your insufficiency, your distress, your strengthlessness, weakness, for what he will offer and make a beautiful pearl?